let's look into, let's think about the Hamburglar for a second.
Uh-oh.
He's dressed.
This could be a whole episode.
He's dressed. He's wearing stripes, right? So he's supposed to look like he's broken out of prison.
Prison, yeah. I know. Why would he wear stripes?
Wasn't he also wearing like a mask and a cape, and sort of like Zorro?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And he says, rubble, rubble.
He's got buck teeth and he says rubble, rubble.
He's got buck teeth. He says rubble, rubble. What does rubble, rubble mean, really?
I mean, it means like, hey, let's party, maybe.
It means let's party.
I don't know. Rubble, rubble.
I feel like it's some sort of, it's the way he creates a distraction from what he's actually doing. He says rubble, rubble. You're like, what does he mean by rubble, rubble? By the time you've finished that sentence, he's stolen the hamburger.
Now, somewhere in the hills near Lake Massmanock lived a Yahoo named Mad Carl. He was joined by his bro named Normal Andy, who was actually weirder than him.
What?
A fire cook by the name of Producer Crix joined, and nobody actually knew what he did. Together, they formed a crazy podcast in a shed. I'm Mad Carl.
I'm Normal Andy, but secretly weirder.
I'm Producer Crix.
Now, crack a beer! All our beers are cracked. Welcome to the Art Shed. We actually have... Should I shut the music off?
Normally what you do, but...
Yeah, okay.
Switch things up.
Yeah, so we actually have no guest. We're going...
this is a McNabb episode.
A McNabb episode.
McNabb?
Chris, how you doing? Chris missed last week.
Good. Yeah, I was out. So it was madhouse here. So.
Well, I mean, we should do a plague facts because... I fucking blew it. All right. I think Chris can add to this plague facts. So we're in a plague.
Yeah.
So
plague facts is since we've been documenting the current plague over the course of the podcast... Carl had the idea to
do.
Plague facts.
Wait.
Oh.
Let's do it one more time. It wasn't loud enough. Plague facts. The devastating Black Plague death, which killed hundreds of millions of people in 14th century, may have been triggered by an asteroid impact. Scientists have sensationally claimed. Wait.
What scientists?
It doesn't say.
Scientist Alfred E. Newman.
Okay. Chris, the reason why I picked this plague fact...
Tell the horn guy to stop playing the trumpet.
Stop it! the reason why I picked this plague fact is because I think Chris had something to say on it.
Well, I mean, I think...
Are you the scientist, Chris?
It's possible. Yeah, I said it. And basically, the thing is, when you say something about science that's possible, but it can't be proven, right, all these scientists will say, well, maybe,
right?
You know, so the odds of that being what actually happened are pretty low, but it is possible.
Right.
It's feasible, unlikely.
But is this like what the story in Creepshow 2 where Stephen King touches an asteroid and becomes a plant person? Is that based on this plague fact?
Oh, it could be. Well, the thing is, they think, what is it called? Panspermia.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Panspermia.
Panspermia. Yeah. That's like outer space, like what viruses coming from outer space, basically frozen in
comets and asteroids.
In comets, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's Oh, like what are those tiny things?
Oh, yeah.
Something grades.
Tardigrades. Tardigrades.
Tardigrades.
Or maybe
it's tard.
They can sit around in frozen space forever. And they're a creature.
And they look really cool.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Never mind the fires.
Since people have discovered that it exists, it's possible that something could survive in space. Then why not a virus?
Well, I mean, I heard that they like have to like basically completely disinfect like the Mars probes because they don't want to like bring a random tardigrade or whatever the hell it's called to Mars.
Yeah.
And like seed Mars with like Earth, you know, because they want to find out if Mars actually has life of its own. They don't want to seed it with Earth pants.
Right. Or whatever. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Well, and there's stuff too where even like on Earth, you know, when they've drilled some ice cores and stuff in Greenland, I think it was, they've come up with like, I don't know, 40,000 year old pollens or viruses, actually viruses that have come back, that, you know, become active again.
Yeah.
So, you know, no virus ever truly goes away, I guess.
Right. Especially the ones that, we won't talk about those viruses.
And spermia.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
This has been Plague
Facts. Panspermia. This has been Plague Facts. I mean, that was probably one of our better Plague Facts.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
We got a lot of discussion out of that one.
And we got to play the horns like 50 different times. I mean, that's all I'm going for, basically.
Yeah, the guy's packing up his horn right now. Yeah.
All right, get the fuck out of here. Get out of the shed, Middle Ages horn guy.
Oh, back to the cellar.
Get back to the cellar.
Don't forget your horn, man.
Yeah, take your horn.
Man, that guy.
I know.
If we don't tell him to leave, he just stays here all week.
I know, with a horn. I mean, it was cold in the shed this week because it kind of went. What's the temperature over there in Chicago, Chris?
I don't know, 60, 65 or so?
I think it's warmer in Chicago than here.
It's freezing here. I mean, it's like 35 here or something.
Yeah, that's what it was like here yesterday. So basically, whatever weather we have, just wait a day or two. That's what you guys will have. Current temperature outside is 61 right now.
We have a fire going outside. So as you can tell by the meandering of this episode, we don't have a guest. We're doing a McNab, or whatever the fuck it's called.
McNab.
Wait, what the fuck is that music at? Chris, are you playing anything?
No, nothing here.
That's Did you weird. Hear something?
It sounds like distant and echoey.
It's fucking weird.
You guys hear a voice?
There's something appearing in the corner of the shed.
A spectral image. Carl, can you make out who that is?
No, I can't.
It seems very familiar.
It looks very familiar.
Oh, come on, man. It's me. It's Jerry.
What?
It's Jerry. It's your hero, Carl. Jerry Garcia. Going, man.
Jerry just came and visited us in the shed.
Here I am, man.
What was that music?
What? That was the spectral music that just sort of follows me around wherever I go. You know,
is that
man,
what you were?
Cool.
You were what's that called? You were channeling.
So I guess we do have a guest in the shed.
Yeah. It's me. It's Jerry.
Do you live in the shed, Jerry?
No. I'm no longer living in the normal way that people are living. So I sometimes I appear in the shed, and other times I can appear, at the top of the Empire State Building or on the Golden Gate Bridge sometimes like in a random subway car, wherever you might need the ghost of Jerry to appear. Here I am, man.
Do
I'm
you
here.
Appear on like pieces of toast and stuff like that?
Absolutely, yep. But you know what I have to do is I have to hire a whole group of spectral toast makers to laser my image onto the toast. I mean, that really, it's very expensive.
Oh, so there's
so I don't do that all the time.
There's money in the afterlife?
Yeah, oh yeah.
I mean, do you keep in touch with Pigpen up there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Pigpen and I are great friends, man. We have a great old time. He plays keyboards and I play guitar and we snort tons of heroin, man. It's awesome. He's really a great guy, man.
So heroin affects you.
You can probably get really good.
It's really good heroin. Yeah, man. It's incredible.
No hangover.
Heavenly heroin. Extremely. Hey, Andy, have you been up to heaven and had the heroin there?
No, not yet.
Oh, wow, man. You'd love it. You'd love it, man. It's really great. Far out. It's far out, man. Far out. Anyway, I just wanted to stop by the shed and, you know, I wanted to first of all tell you, Carl, since I know that I'm your hero, that I'm really proud of you and the work that you're doing here in the art shed, man.
I mean, how many Jerrys have I painted, Jerry?
I've been counting. I have a notebook that is, the title of the notebook says, how many times Carl has painted pictures of Jerry. And every time you paint a picture of me, I write your name on a page in the notebook. And let me look through the book. I'm going to say 37 times, man.
Oh, that's pretty fucking sweet.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know. This is, I don't know, taking notes and everything. It's sounding more like Santa than Jerry.
But yes, Santa's a great guy, man. He's a great guy. And, you know, Santa and I are related. I mean, look at how I look, right? You know, big beard. I'm kind of a little rotund. And Santa's the same way, man. And the weird thing is Santa's also missing a couple fingers, just like me, man.
Yeah, and Chris, he sounds exactly like Jerry sounds. So
yeah, did you ever hear him laugh? This is how Santa laughs in heaven. Ho, 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 man. I'm
Santa's
Santa.
Dead? Santa's in heaven?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Santa comes to heaven all the time,
We're
man.
Breaking a big story.
Wait, is he spectral?
Santa's almost like a god. He's sort of like a demigod. I think maybe Zeus had sex with a polar bear or something like that, and they gave birth to Santa. But they don't like to divulge that part because he's not a regular part of, like, the Greek myths, you know? But so he can kind of go to heaven when he wants, or he can travel around the planet really fast or whatever. He can play banjo really good too, man. He's a great banjo player.
Well, I heard Zeus did have those polar bear scratch marks on his back. So,
right. From having sex with a polar bear, man. Can you imagine that? Far out. It's far out. I wrote a song about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I got the, you know, it's weird. I forget some things. And is it Robert Hunter, the guy who used to write my lyrics?
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
He wrote some crazy ass lyrics about that. I was like, Rob, man, I can't sing these lyrics. Come on. These are just
like
too
Zeus
disgusting.
Having sex with
Zeus having sex with a polar bear. I was like, Rob, man, come on. This is never going to fly in heaven, man.
Chris, you got any questions for Jerry?
He sounds skeptical.
Yeah. I mean, why did you die so young?
All right, that's a great question, Chris. And I want to tell you, Chris, as well, because I'm not so sure I'm your hero, but I know you're into me, man. And
oh, yeah.
I wanted to let you know that steak that you cooked the other day, it was cooked to perfection, man.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. You know, there are so many dead people that watch you cook. I can count at least 500 or 600 dead people who watch you cook every day, man. And they're like, wow, look at that guy flip that burger.
Are you keeping a notebook on this one?
I've been keeping this notebook about every time that Chris cooks a burger.
It doesn't really sound like Jerry keeping notes, man. That's not his style.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you know, I'm trying to make up for all the time when I was alive and I didn't take any notes. Now that I'm dead, I got all this extra time. I like to take notes, you know?
You know what? We actually have a thing on
But
the...
wait, I got to answer his question first.
Go
on. Is that okay with
you?
Yeah. Okay. Here's the deal, Chris. I didn't really die, man. What actually happened was I was picked up by these praying mantis aliens, man. They picked me up, man. I mean, I went into some sort of diabetic shock and I was about to die. And just as I was about to die in my hospital bed, these praying mantis aliens from, I think they might be from near Zeta Reticuli, they came by in their ship and they beamed me up and they saved me, man.
Oh, that's fucking sweet.
Yeah, they're really nice guys.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And you didn't really want to do another tour, right?
Oh, fuck that, man. How many tours do I got to do, man?
Right. You wanted to bail.
Yeah, fuck that shit, man. Would you want to hang out with all those dirty hippies all the time? Give me a break, man.
I mean, you had a good thing going, man.
Oh, it's a really good thing. And I got to tell you, of all the musicians that we ever played with, the very best one that we played with was Donna Godchow.
Shut up.
Yeah, she's the best one, man. We all love her.
Carl's like, he's about to punch Jerry.
My mind is blown. Yeah.
Oh, my God. She can play anything. She can play the harp. She can play the lute. She can play piano, but she didn't play traditional piano. She played that sort of... John Zorn kind of prepared piano where you put blocks inside of the cables in the piano and you strike it with a mallet and stuff. It was amazing. She was really talented.
What about Brent?
I fucking hated that guy, man.
No, you loved him, man.
Well, that's what I told people. I told people I loved him, you know, because I wanted good publicity. We had a new guy. We put out a new record. We had the most popular
record. All right, Jerry, get the fuck out of the action. You cannot shit on Brent.
Carl, have you? Sometimes, like, demons impersonate people.
Right? I mean, Jerry wouldn't say anything negative about Brent. In fact, Brent's dead, too.
Yeah, Brent's dead, and I'm up. He's next to me right now. You want to talk to him?
Yeah.
Hey, this is Brent.
Hey, Brent, how's it going,
buddy? Hey, great to see you, Carl.
Hey, I got to do a
panel. Hey, Andy.
Hey, Brent.
Hey, normal Andy. Sorry. Yeah, that's me. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Brent. Hey. How's it going, brother?
Great, man, great.
Fucking Jerry, what the fuck's up with Jerry, man? Why is he shitting all over you, man?
Well, the thing is I owe him money. I owe Jerry money.
Money's in heaven?
Yeah, oh, there's tons of money everywhere in heaven. You ever hear the term pennies from heaven?
No. You want a bowl?
Sure. But you never heard the term pennies from heaven, huh?
No.
Oh, it's a classic term. I mean, it just sort of means that it's raining miracles. Right. And I need a miracle every day.
All right, get the fuck out of the show.
Okay, I gotta go.
I think this is done. I think we're done with these clowns.
Hey, it's me. I'm Jerry. It's Jerry. I'm back.
Leave!
Okay, here I go. Goodbye! I'm so proud of you!
All right, well, they're gone. I mean,
that was really weird, Carl.
That was really weird.
That was pretty weird.
And I was like, that'd be great if Jerry came here, but then after a while, I was kind of annoyed.
Yeah, things never quite turn out the way you want them to, right, Carl?
Yeah.
That's. I mean, if I ever had like a hypothetical scenario where a ghost visited me, I would never think it would be Jerry Garcia.
Right? I know. It's so weird. Like, why would he even come to the shed? You know, like, yeah, that's fucked up. And he had some good music, heavenly music with him. I'm like totally discombobulated now. I totally forget what the hell. Hey, who's there?
Hey, it's your brother, Phil.
Hey, Phil, come on in.
Oh, hey, guys. Hey, you mind if I pull up a chair and be on
Phil,
the show?
Yeah, I see you brought all your Foley equipment for doing...
I brought all of my Foley equipment with me, yeah.
Holy crap, yeah. Phil's here. Hey, yeah. Chris, you remember
Hey, Chris,
Phil?
How you doing?
Oh, yeah, hey, what's up?
Hey, you remember me? We grew up together.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think Phil used to live across the street from
hey,
me.
Hey, Phil, yeah. you totally missed a ghost visited us. It was all fucked up.
What? What happened?
Yeah, Jerry and Brent came here.
Your friends, Jerry and Brent? Who are you talking about?
They're ghosts.
Jerry,
spectral.
Jerry who?
Spectral Garcia.
The ghost of Jerry Garcia was here?
Yeah, it wasn't as good as you'd actually. I thought it was going to be awesome with it. You know, after a while, we had to throw him out of the shed.
He got sick of his ass.
Yeah. Anyway, I had another bit, which I'm totally discombobulated after Jerry came from. Where the fuck did he come from? Specular reticular or something like that?
I don't know. Where did Jerry? I mean, he's dead. Well, he must have come from heaven, right?
No, he came from a space place. I mean,
space place.
Yeah, like a planet or a
Like
Zeta Reticuli?
Yeah, maybe. It was Zeta Reticuli.
Yeah, Zeta Reticuli. Yeah, right.
Well, you know, I did read a book, a rock and roll book about different rock stars who were picked up by aliens and stuff.
Right. Okay.
I heard that Jerry had been abducted by praying mantis people.
Right. And we've all heard that saying, Jerry's from heaven.
Yeah, Jerry's from heaven. Yeah. Exactly.
And I think actually that's what happened.
We solved it.
Kyle, you seem really distracted.
I'm trying to look up the next bit.
This is all scripted, folks.
I sent you guys something. Oh, all right.
I tried to cue it up, Carl, but you didn't take the bite.
What was it, Andy?
I mentioned like 10 minutes ago that, you know, like a hypothetical situation, I didn't think if a ghost showed up, it would be Jerry Garcia.
Oh, I get it. I'm a little slow. Yeah. So, I want to do something about hypothetical situations. like it's called this new bit is called.
Oh, he's back.
I thought you threw that bum out.
I think he's just outside the shed.
He's outside. He's knocking on the door. Hypothetically speaking.
Oh.
Have you ever been in an elevator and wondered if you'd be able to break out if you got stuck? Get out of here!
Okay.
Basically I wanted to like put up a bunch of hypothetical situations and we could talk about what we would do.
That sounds good.
Chris, you get an idea about the hypothetical elevator?
How to get out?
Yeah.
Well, okay. So, you know, press it, you know, you start with the normal stuff, press the alarm button, or just press the up or down button a few times, press the alarm button, pull out your phone and call someone.
Panic.
And now, if all of that hasn't worked, you can probably just force the doors apart. And if you can't force the doors apart, then usually you just go up through the hatch at the top in the ceiling. And usually there's like a fake ceiling above it, so you have to push the panels out. Then you go up into that, and you basically look, there's like an interlock, and it's usually magnetic. But, I mean, that depends on, is it like, you know, are you talking about an Otis elevator or Toshiba elevator? You know, so you need to know the brand. But then you can just disable that magnet. The door should swing right open, slide right open, and then you can just hop out.
How do you disable a magnet?
Because it's electrical. So okay. If there's power, you just kill the power to the door.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you've really thought about this hypothetical situation.
What's hypothetical about it?
Here's another thing I thought about. So I don't know if you heard about a 9/11. So
have you heard about 9/11, Chris?
No,
a little bit. It's, yeah.
So I heard about this one guy in 9/11. Basically, he was in an elevator. His elevator was stuck. I guess in the towers, they had like a generic message that said, wait for 15 minutes and somebody will be right there. You know, and it just kept repeating that. So the guy was just sitting there mellowing out, chilling out. And he's like, oh, somebody's going to be here. Somebody's going to be here. Meanwhile, planes are hitting, there's burning, people jumping out. He didn't hear any of that shit. Only when the power went out, the elevator doors opened, and it opened on the first floor. And he didn't know anything about what was going on. He walked out to like a complete scene of complete burning chaos.
Wow.
And he freaking ran out of the buildings, and then the towers collapsed. Wow. Like, imagine that. And he was sitting there listening. While this whole shit show was happening, he was sitting in the elevator, like, listening to, like, elevator music. Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
I know.
This is a true story?
I heard it on I may be wrong. I think I saw it on a documentary, like, a while ago. I might be misremembering it, but...
Yeah. No, it sounds more likely than the plague coming from outer space. So
yeah, me too. Yep.
What is the hypothetical related to that?
Nothing. Oh. This is about, this show is about tangents.
I've actually heard, and this is really dark, but I've heard distress calls from people in the Twin Towers just as they're about to fall.
Oh, yeah. You don't have to get into
like on your teeth, like your feelings?
No. Them? I mean, I've heard, like, I remember being able to find them online, right, like on YouTube or something.
Did they delete them or are they still?
I have no idea. I don't remember how I stumbled across it, but it was really upsetting, actually.
Do you have any on the soundboard?
I don't advise.
No, we're not going to get any.
I'm joking.
None of this. We're probably going to get canceled now. I'm sorry.
This will be the last episode.
Yeah, I'm super paranoid about canceled culture. They're going to cancel me, although nobody listens, so it really, I mean, they can't cancel
Mom's
you.
Mom's going to cancel you, Carl.
Yeah. Our mother listens and maybe a couple other people. Yeah, Jerry listens, apparently. Yeah.
Jerry's proud of you, I think.
Yeah. That's about it. I mean, spectral ghosts, I mean, you know, we're probably more spectral people than actual people that listen.
Well, I mean, I guess there just would be in more spectral people in general.
Yes.
Because they just keep growing and growing. People end up dying. And then they become spectral people. So spectral will always win.
Here's the question. Is there a finite number, a fixed number of spectral people that reincarnate into physical bodies and then die and go back to being? Like, is there a fixed number of them or are there, how would they... How would the spectral people increase in number exactly? That's a hypothetical.
So they're not getting reincarnated. They're all just
where are they? Up. Where are they coming from? If there's more of them,
well, that's the whole thing. And then you get into the whole concept of soul and does an individual soul exist?
Right.
And is it, you know, continue on outside of your?
Well, I think we've proven today that it does.
Does it all go back to source? Is it all one soul? Being,
right,
you know, or is it all
like conservation of energy type thing?
Yeah. Is it all like one soul broken up into many beings, or is it like we already know that maybe the ego doesn't exist, right?
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, Jerry exists somehow out of time and space.
Well, maybe his dead, essence, maybe his essence, persists somehow.
Yeah. Hey.
You know, the essence of Jerry.
Yeah,
maybe he's just a light body. He could be just a little ball of light that flies around the universe now.
Okay, speaking of hypothetical... Oh, go on, Chris. What are you
saying? Oh, no, I was just going to say, it just gets complicated because then, you know, when you say essence, well, then you're kind of right back to the idea of self and soul and individual. Yeah.
Or candles, essence of whatever, you know. Like, right.
Yes.
Yeah. So
our air freshener.
There it is.
We did it, guys.
Air fresheners. Yeah, and is there a finite number of air fresheners, or are they ever expanding number of air fresheners?
I think there's an ever. There's a landfill filled with air fresheners somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Wow.
Okay, I have another hypothetical thing that I kind of thought of this week that kind of came to me. What if I'm in a virtual reality and, like, say all these podcasts, like, say the, you know, our civilization was destroyed and there was a hard drive at the bottom of a fucking landfill and it had all our podcasts at the bottom of it and somebody reconstructed us.
The shed?
The shed, like a virtual, they didn't have much left from this civilization, but for some reason they found my hard drive, so they just reconstructed us in a virtual reality ride or something, and we're like like this isn't us really, this is a futuristic ride that somebody's on where they temporarily forget their self and they're like a Andy, they're a normal Andy or a Phil or a producer Chris or a Carl. And it's like completely reconstructed from the podcast. You know what I mean?
What they assume our personalities on this ride?
Yeah, this isn't a real. We're not real people. We're just like a futuristic person. Like they.
Well, that would explain Jerry Garcia visiting earlier today.
I mean,
yeah,
like it would make a lot of sense. And like,
I do not understand this hypothetical at all. Wait, all okay, right. Let me get this straight. Okay, so it's the future. How far in the future is it?
I don't know.
Why are people?
It doesn't even need to be a human. It could be like an advanced crow or AI. Something.
Yeah, an advanced crow. Okay, so we're in the future. We've destroyed humanity, right?
Oh yeah, that's gonna happen.
It's just
that's only a matter of time.
It's just a landfill of garbage and bones and shit like that.
Right.
And now, and because of the nuclear bombs, the crows have mutated into humanoid crows, or at least intelligent, like super intelligent crows.
Yeah.
And they're digging through the garbage.
Yeah.
And they find this hard drive.
Right.
Okay. And one of the crows manages to figure out how to, maybe they've already constructed computers.
Yeah. Maybe.
Or maybe they're into like ancient, like
technologies.
Old technology, you know what I mean? What's it? Yeah. Retro tech.
Retro
tech. And so the crow like hooks up the hard drive to an old computer.
They can't find any, but for some reason this is in like the bottom of a...
They find your computer.
Yeah, they find my
computer. That's the only place.
This one. The one that this is recorded on.
Yeah.
Okay. Now,
they don't find the internet. They don't have much to go on.
So they just find this imprinted on a hard drive.
Right.
They play it, and then they turn into us?
No, they decide to make a virtual reality simulation based on our lives from what they've been able to gather from listening to the podcast so that they can recreate, as amusement, living our lives in the podcast.
So what do they do? They put on, like, goggles and...
Well, whatever, crow goggles. Maybe crow they goggles. Put wires in their head or something. Who knows? I don't know.
All right, let's say that they do Matrix style. They just jack right in.
Yeah.
Okay, so they jack in, and now they think that they're one of us.
Right, and we're them. We're not...
This is like a Total Recall scenario.
Yeah.
Total Recall.
Yeah.
So, what happens then?
Nothing. I'm just saying, like... I mean, we're just fooled. I mean, we could be intelligent crows.
We
could be intelligent crows in the future, and all of a sudden we're going to wake up tomorrow and be like, "Whoa, that was intense!"
Wow. It's as plausible as as a meteoroid bringing the Black Plague.
I don't know if that one is as plausible. I'm going to go with less plausible. Maybe not impossible, but less plausible.
The crow scenario.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
I think a lot of ducks have to go in a row to freaking make that happen.
Is it ducks or is it crows?
It's crows. Crows like hurt the ducks.
It's a murder of crows. It's going to take a murder of crows to make that happen.
It's going
to
take a lot.
What about a murder of ducks?
It's going to take a lot of crows in a row to make that happen, but it could, you know.
Well, that sounds like some lyrics right there.
It kind of sounds like the 100th crow theory.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's about as plausible if somebody living my actual life.
Carl, are you depressed? Is that what you're talking about? You have a middle-aged crisis.
I hear that theory where you put 100 crows in a room with a bunch of...
typewriters.
Well, not typewriters. You put them with computers, and they eventually create a simulated reality.
They make their own podcast.
No, simulated reality.
Oh.
I'm worried Carl's having an existential crisis.
I think that's what's happening. God, I think he might be depressed.
I mean, Jerry just talked to me. So.
You didn't like him.
No.
Well, he was a good guy. I like Jerry.
Carl, he might come back.
Sorry, I'm sorry, ghosts. I don't want to piss off the ghosts of the shed. I mean, I want more ghosts to come.
Do you think that Jerry was attracted to all the spirits that are already around the shed, and that's why he came and visited?
I mean, we've had a lot of...
Is it true the shed was built on an ancient Indian burial ground?
I mean, that's what we're assuming.
Yeah.
And maybe. Go on, Chris, what are you saying?
Oh, maybe it was built on a crow burial ground.
I think maybe it was built on an ancient deadhead burial ground.
You know what? I heard that Grateful Doe, he was like a deadhead who got lost, and they couldn't find him, and
he's stuck on the
instead of Boston. John Doe, they called him Grateful Doe, and like he might have died around here.
Wait, tell us more about Grateful Doe.
I don't know much about him. He was a deadhead.
He never returns. No, he never
deadhead that never returned, went on tour. And
what, how does anyone know? All right, if he's anonymous, how does anyone even know that he
existed? They found him. They found his body maybe somewhere.
They didn't know who he was.
And they said, here's his body. This is where we're building this shed now.
We've violated many fucking things in this episode. We're fucked. Nobody's ever gonna put us back online again. I don't care anyway. That's what we're doing. We're out of control. We just do whatever we want, right, guys?
Yeah,
pretty much.
Do what we like.
Yeah.
Chris, have you ever had any ghosts come visit you in Chicago?
Cow?
No, never really seen any ghosts.
None.
None.
Nothing. Have you ever had any kind of experience like that?
No, I mean, I don't know. I've had, I would say, maybe like epiphanies. I've had like experiences that were really out of the ordinary, but nothing that I was like, this is a ghost or this is that.
So what is a experience that's out of the ordinary for you?
I had a rabbit wake me up in the middle of the night biting my nose.
What?
Yeah.
Was it your rabbit?
No, I was just asleep in the woods and I was awakened by a rabbit biting my nose. Like I had a scab too.
Whoa.
I mean, yeah. Why were you asleep in the woods?
That's a long story.
We don't have to go into that, but I like it.
Yeah.
Do you think it thought you were food, or was it trying to alert you to something? Or
maybe it needed salt?
At the time, I think I thought it was trying to save my life.
Why do you think that?
I don't know, because I thought there was some purpose for it waking me up.
Uh-huh.
Because I just felt there had to be some sort of purpose behind it. I mean, that it wouldn't just happen.
Rabbits are sort of a symbol of fertility. Did you impregnate someone soon afterwards?
Not connected to that.
Yeah. I mean, that's
pretty... Not that I know of.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty intense, Chris. That story is like a Greek mythos cat creature turned into a rabbit and started biting your nose.
Maybe that was Zeus.
Yeah.
It's always turning into
creatures. I don't think Zeus would turn into a rabbit.
Yeah.
I mean, at the time, I was kind of like, wow, this is like a big deal. But
I think, I mean, to me, it seems like...
Kind of like, for whatever reason. So I ended up passed out on the floor of a forest. And a rabbit came along and like, what the hell is this thing? What? And that's how it happened. That's what I think. But it's also, when I was a kid, I remember I must have been like 4 or 5 when I first moved to Franklin. So I left Northfield, Massachusetts, like Western Mass. And this goes way back to some of my earliest memories. I remember there was a blue jay that used to like sit, not like on my windowsill, but on a tree right by my window all the time when I was a kid. Huh. And I remember being in Franklin, and it was probably like within the first couple of days that we got to Franklin, and there was a blue jay on the tree outside of my window in Franklin. And I was like, oh my God, it followed me.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Maybe it did.
And I was totally convinced of that when I was a little kid, that this blue jay had just followed me.
I mean, really?
I mean, that is significant, and it's, you know, like when you're a kid, you're in this sort of magical mind state all the time. So it probably felt even more significant to you in the moment, you know, like it's possible in your child's mind that kind of thing could be real.
As a kid, I think it totally, made a lot of sense. As opposed to the fact that, I mean, there's probably just a lot of fucking blue jays in Massachusetts. Yeah,
right.
I'm going to say, I would think it was pretty significant now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There's something about bird sightings that always seems significant for some reason.
Right.
What is that?
I don't know. They're just...
They're kind of cool.
Yeah, they're wicked cool.
I've always really, like we were talking about crows before, I always really like crows. Because when I work for the Appalachian Mountain Club, there were very few, like I would see loads of wildlife there. And I would see loads of wildlife when I was back in Boston during the school year too. But it was mostly like rats and occasional rabbits in the fens and stuff.
I like that you call rats wildlife.
Oh they totally are. They are. They're wild.
Oh yeah.
And, but there was no overlap at all between the wildlife in the mountains and the wildlife in Boston, except for crows. And crows were like, I remember there were times where it was like I was above tree line in a cloud bank, awful weather. And all of a sudden this crow just goes up over the presidential range, just like right through this col between two mountains. And all of a sudden, so it's like, I can only see about like 20 to 30 feet in front of me. And all of a sudden I just see this crow kind of go like woof and go by. I'm like, holy shit. And this is like way above tree line. There's nothing up there. And then, you know, I'd see crows, of course, all over the place in Boston.
I got a great crow story. I was sitting in my backyard, and some days in the morning, in like near the shed, I just sit there, and like if you sit still, you can see a lot of animals, birds, and whatever, because if you just sit there still, and if I bring one of my kids out and be like, sit still with me, the animals, my kids can never sit still, so they run away. But if I'm there by myself, so I'm like, I learned early never to bring my kids out. Just bring a coffee, sit there. And one day, like, the weather was kind of turning weird. And I looked up, and one of the tallest trees, all of a sudden, like, fucking a murder of crows, like 10 crows flew at once and landed on the tree. And I looked, and like it just seemed like the clouds were swirling in a certain way, and then all the 10 crows just moved at once and cawed at the same time and flew away. And for some reason, it was just so intense. Yeah. I can't describe how intense, like, more than like a bunch of crows are flying, landing on a bunch of branches and then flying away are. It just seems like otherworldly. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ominous.
It seems so intense. It was like so intense. Like I was in, like, I was like sitting there being like, I want, you know, you're by yourself and you want to tap somebody and be like, did you see that?
There's something about crows. It's like a lot of birds. You feel like they barely give a shit if you're there or not. But there's something about crows where you get the feeling like they know you're there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Don't they have like really good memories and they pass down like if you make an enemy of crows, they pass it down to their children and tell them to like, where'd you get this guy? I don't know. I feel like
I mean it's well known, like some of the old timers, which like if you don't want a crow, they would shoot a crow and then the crows wouldn't come to their yard anymore because the rest of the crows would know that you shot one of their crows.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a friend who's been, he's been feeding crows. We could get him on to talk about crows.
Do you think he could bring a crow on?
I don't think they're that close, but
he puts up a lot of videos.
Yeah, he does.
But he could play him.
What specifically is significant about his deal with crows?
Well, he like talks to them and they talk back and stuff like
that. And they deliver like
yeah. Oh, they give him gifts. He feeds them and then they'll bring him little like shiny stones.
Really?
And weird pieces of metal and stuff like that.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So he has a relationship.
Yeah.
That's well known.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Crows are very social animals and they do communicate with each other. And they have actually seen crows use sticks and rocks as tools.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've also observed crows teaching other crows how to do that.
Right.
So that it's not like a natural instinct. It's like one crow has to show another crow how to do it.
So what do we think the intelligence level of a crow really is then?
Pretty high.
Yeah.
That's why we're talking about intelligent crows. I mean, if humans die off, basically, you're going to either have raccoons take over or crows.
Or dolphins.
Or maybe dolphins.
Yeah. I don't think raccoons.
Dolphins are not going to take over the land, I don't think.
Chris, you're not into dolphins?
You don't think
I don't think raccoons are all that smart.
I do.
They're pretty smart, dude. And they have hands.
I don't know. I've seen so many raccoons splattered on the road.
That's true.
Well,
and I've never seen a crow splattered on the road, or a dolphin for that matter. Mm.
I've always thought that raccoons look like monkeys wearing a raccoon suit. Like there's something, there's an intelligence in their eyes that it's almost like an even smarter animal pretending to be a raccoon.
They kind of look like the Hamburglar, and the Hamburglar was pretty smart.
That guy was pretty smart.
I think that goes without saying, guys.
I mean,
anyone who could steal a Burger from Ronald McDonald's?
I mean, geez. Well,
actually, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure where it ranks on the intelligence scale of saying, okay, he can steal a hamburger from a clown.
Yeah. I guess if you put it that way, Chris.
I mean, it's above average, maybe.
Everyone knows that clowns are very easily duped.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's typical.
Clowns exist to be duped.
Exactly, yeah.
Right, like, right. So it's an act.
Yeah.
I think we're about at the end of the episode here.
we're getting close. But let me tell you, I mean, my whole theory about all of the McDonald's characters is that it was just a ripoff of H.R. Puff and stuff.
That's true.
Yeah.
Oh, it all came out at the same time.
That's not even a theory. They tried to hire Sid and Marty Krofft, but I don't know exactly what happened, but they tried to hire them to do it and they didn't want to do it. And so they just ripped them off. I think they got.
What about Grimace? What was Grimace?
What was Grimace? He's not Grimace.
He does seem in HR.
The first picture, yeah. Commercial with Grimace, he's got four arms too.
Whoa.
And he's evil.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Oh, that makes sense.
Well, and I think Mayor McCheese too.
Yeah.
And he was like HR Puff and stuff all the way.
Yeah.
What was the other one about the cave? Remember the kids were like by the sea and they were in a cave? Sigmund the Sea Monster.
Yeah. Sigmund the Sea Monster.
Yeah.
Is that Prof?
That has nothing to do with.
Yeah.
And Lidsville and.
Right. Oh, Lidsville, right.
I never saw Lidsville.
I never really saw Lidsville either. No. But of course, the best one.
The Bugaloos.
No.
What?
Land of the Lost.
Oh, that's Sid and Marty Krofft?
I think so.
I mean, really? How much LSD do these people take?
Yeah, a lot.
I mean, H.R. Puff and stuff.
Yeah,
right.
The craziest.
There's that one. It was the Altered States of Drugachusetts.
The Bob and David.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Mr. Show sketch.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. With the talking pong.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they started with Banana Splits. That was the first one.
Yeah.
That's them?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I mean, Banana Splits was really twisted too.
I mean, that theme song. If I'm senile and insane, that theme song is still gonna
haunting you.
It's still going to be running through my head.
Yeah.
Fa la 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 la.
It's what I sing to myself anytime I'm trying to drive the "I Feel Like Chicken Tonight" song.
It always comes back to the "I Feel Like Chicken Tonight" song.
Yeah.
With you.
Yes. Yes.
That haunts you, Chris.
It does.
When did that start for you?
Especially with a corpse of a chicken doing like a chicken dance, like a
dead chicken, like I feel like chicken tonight.
It's supposed to be funny, but it's like
horrible.
Shit.
It's like it's an eyeball hanging out of its decrepit corpse. And
I was thinking of a plucked chicken that you would just cook in your oven, but it's dancing, you know, like it's really cute and funny, you know.
See, now you're getting into a Eraserhead territory.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wow. Well, when the crows find this and they recreate us in the future, they're really going to have to do some serious research to understand this conversation.
Look up crows. Look up David Leitch.
Yeah. You know, I just realized now, like, if I ever win the lottery, I'm going to spend all of my money hiring David Lynch to remake H.R. Puff and stuff.
Nice.
Do you think he would do it? I
don't know.
I think we deserve to win the lottery.
I ever win the lottery, I'm going to spend all my money teaching crows to recreate Eraserhead.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Alexis, teach crows to remake Eraserhead.
I mean, I think we've done it again. We've started
perfected the podcast.
No, I mean
the format of podcast.
We started with like literally nothing.
Yeah.
And we've
ended with nothing.
And we talked. I mean, this was a good one.
This was a quality podcast.
It was.
All right.
It was, although I don't know if we can call these McNaps because Phil's been on all of them. So far.
Well, I am a P. So do I?
That's
don't I
true.
The P part of the McNap.
I was just saying that we need to, you know.
Phil's the peon of the McNap.
Yeah, I'm the peon.
What about Jerry? I mean, he's only been on one of them, though.
Well, Chris, you're just represented as producer.
Well, isn't he the C in the Mick?
No, that's Mad Carl.
Oh. What's the
M? No, well, the MC is Mad Carl at the beginning. What's the Mick. And then it's, well,
Normal Andy.
Oh, and P is what?
Producer Chris? Producer Chris. And then there's a silent C after the P. Well,
you could do a it
could be two P's.
You could do two P's and then a...
Yeah, we wouldn't have to change it.
Because then I could be the second P.
Yeah, yeah.
Or it could be
McNabb squared.
McNabb.
No, it could be squared. Yeah, McNabb just put squared. A two under it.
Yeah. Well, there's still no, and the C is silent.
You know, okay. We can do whatever the hell we want. All right. We have been doing
it. We have figured out.
I re-listened to the other McNabb episode and specifically to figure out why it was called McNabb because it didn't make any sense to me. And then I listened to the episode and you guys never explained it. You explained it differently and I never understood why.
No, I think we figured it out while we were making
it. But what you said in the episode was not McNabb.
No,
it was something else. We figured it out afterwards.
Yeah.
No, oh, you know what's funny is, so the episode I haven't published yet, that's when we figured out McNabb.
Oh.
Mm.
So the next...
Okay.
The next...
Yeah, this is the third McNabb episode.
This is the third... Everyone. There's another McNabb. There's another McNabb that I haven't published.
Yeah, you're in both of them.
Oh.
And I think we kind of
you got it wrong.
We really... You were there. It was like, we really get down to...
about jobs.
We really get down to what McNabb means, you know, in the second episode. And that's why... And so...
I'm like, pretty sure you guys are wrong.
We fleshed it out, I think. How would we have it if we didn't know?
Well, I mean, if we've got it wrong, then the crows are screwed.
The crows are to blame.
I mean, obviously that... Maybe we didn't figure it out, and the crows are just putting false information into the program.
But the crows, there's like a bunch of crows going, it just doesn't add up in the future. Like, it just doesn't add up.
And then the programmer crow is just like, I'll just fill it in with some crap.
Oh, is that like future crows? They call the program of crows?
Yeah,
program of crows. It's a group of future crows.
The programmer crow is like, fuck it, I'll just put some shit in, I'll fill some stuff in. We don't quite understand these podcasts, but I'll just make it up, dude. Okay, fine.
I would say
that was the missing ingredient, though, is to just make it up.
I would say that's how history has been formed over centuries.
Yeah, well, I'm saying, like, you're a figment of the crow's imagination. You know what I mean? Like our original podcast, we looked like something else, but now I mean, we look different
we're like the way that scientists think that dinosaurs used to look.
Right, exactly.
Right.
That's why Carl's covered in feathers, right?
We don't look like this.
Not because of the crows. Right.
We don't look like this.
We don't look like this.
In our original cells.
Listener, we don't look like this.
Yeah.
We don't look. This is just an interpretation that the crows made to fill in all the gaps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
History is written by the winners.
Yeah.
By the victor. The victors write the history.
The garbage dump peeling crows, you know, like.
Those are the strongest crows in the future. Yeah. The ones that find and
recruit. They don't even look like crows.
Are these Odin's crows?
Yeah.
Hunan and Munin?
I guess they're right.
All right, guys.
Yeah, those are crows.
All right, so let's talk about our websites, I guess. The crows can look up this. I'm Mad Carl, madcarl.com, Matt Spiral, and Carl Restaino on Facebook and Instagram. Crows, whatever, figure it out.
Crows in the future, Phil Restaino talking now. You can find information about me and recreate it incorrectly at thesearedreams.com.
AndyRestaino.com, spelled how it sounds, Ristaino.
All right. I'm at hrpuffinstuffrules.net. And if you go to hrpuffinstuffrules.net/crows, you'll find something very interesting.
You get 10% off on Blue Chew.
Something at McDonald's.
Yeah.
Chris is at Live Fire Crows. And quote, what happened? Okay, crows, you can go somewhere, fly somewhere into a murder. but you can't stay in the shed. So get the hell,
out of the yard shed.
Hey, it's me, Jerry Man. I love you. I'm so proud of you, crows.
Thanks, Jerry, for visiting the shed.
I'm so proud of you.
Thanks, Carl and Chris, for finishing another McCaff episode.
Jerry's back.
Thanks, everyone, for listening and making it to the end of the episode. You are true champions.
Thank you, this might have been our best episode
this
ever.
This is the best one.
This was a good one.
I don't know. You always say this may have been our best episode ever. Usually, I kind of believe you, but this time, it's just convinced me you just say that.
I think this was a good one. You don't think this was a good one?
Quality podcast.
It was certainly good, but not best ever.
Okay, no, I get you.
Yeah, we will top this, Carl, next week.
No, it wasn't the best ever, but I think it was pretty damn good.
Yeah. It could have been worse.
Easily.
It certainly could have.
Washington Post says it could have been worse.
Do another one. That one was really good.